Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, today is what? The 28th of January? So maybe for many South Africans, we've had the slight reprieve of experiencing payday over the weekend. But the truth is, January blues comes with lots of stresses. And sometimes there are unscrupulous participants in the industry who are scammers and typically try to coerce many South Africans to participate in any deals that actually aren't legal and, quite frankly, non-existent. We're joined now by Chief Operating Officer at the South African Fraud Prevention Services, Roy Retief, to tell us more about the rise that we happen to see in loan scams in the market. Roy, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Good evening, Gugulethu, and thank you for the opportunity, and good evening to all the listeners.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, when we take a look at loan scams in the market, how prevalent are they, and what's the trend been in terms of the activity?
Well, we've definitely seen more activity in terms of loan scams in the early part of the year. And I think the consumers are a bit shell-shocked. We saw a lot of scams happening over December, over the festive period. And, you know, as you said, there is that slight reprieve with January payday just behind us, but the scammers are back in action and typically trying to tailor their scams to suit the current sort of economic and spending requirements of consumers. So we see, you know, we've got over the Christmas period. It's now recently been back to school. And sort of more importantly now, in the last week and coming weeks, is back to university and all the costs that are associated with that.
Definitely. And I guess that obviously speaks to what consumers' needs are, right? And maybe this then takes us to how these scams typically work. Speaking to the needs of consumers sounds like the first step here.
And, you know, obviously things like going back to school and, you know, university especially, you're faced with registration fees, the schools, its uniforms and books. And university, as I said, registration fees, accommodation, textbooks, all those sorts of things. And customers are, consumers at least, are generally quite financially stretched. And this is where the fraudsters are capitalizing, because they are making these loan scams available to consumers with a promise that they will give them easy credit to help bear some of these financial burdens. And typically these would be where you know, a loan is offered irrespective of the consumer's credit worthiness or you know, their current credit record. And, you know, people take them up to help avoid financial stress that they may be facing. And often these scams work on one of the hallmarks of these scams is that they work on some sort of upfront payment. So they'll either say, look, there's a loan administration fee that you need to pay before, you know, we can process the application, etc. So there's generally some sort of upfront payment that the consumer's got to make to qualify for the loans. And, you know, some of them might be a once-off payment and the consumer pays that and they never hear anything from the scammers. But it sometimes happens that they're asked to pay a certain amount upfront and then, you know, there are further administration costs down the line that the consumer ends up paying, and they can become quite sizable costs. The other thing to look out for these is often there's some sort of time constraint involved to say that, look, you've got to act now. There's an urgency because the offer is going to expire soon. It's an exclusive offer for you alone. It's a special New Year's deal, et cetera, et cetera. And not just do they get away with the consumer's hard-earned cash in terms of these upfront payments and there's never a loan to materialize, but they are often able to get a lot of personal information from the consumers because they get the consumer to submit false application forms. And these personal details can then be used in other fraud scams, for example, like identity theft scams, where they can actually go and get credit in the consumer's name without them knowing about it. So it has quite far-reaching consequences for consumers who are caught out by these scams.
Yeah, and I think it's so critical what you've mentioned, right? Because if, you know, for someone to actually pay to qualify for a loan is probably counterintuitive, but desperate times do call for desperate measures. And these are just a few of the red flags that we need to be mindful of. So do we often find that there's pressure in terms of time and more so interrogation that some participants typically face in terms of the modus operandi?
Yes, certainly. There's always that element of pressure. And that's one of the things that we advise consumers. Well, firstly, if the deal sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But the second thing is we advise consumers not to buckle under the pressure. You know, just take time, think about what these guys are proposing. And if you sort of try and apply a little bit more of a rational mindset in the absence of all this pressure that they're putting on you, you know, you've got to respond within a certain time or you're going to lose the deal, et cetera, et cetera. If one sort of takes a step back, takes a moment to sort of catch your breath and look at it, you often begin to see through the scam. But that's one of, you were quite correct, that's one of the things that they use, is that pressure, so that consumers don't make clear decisions.
We've had back
or
to
think them through.
Yeah, we've had back to school for scholars, Roy, but I understand many students are preparing to head back to varsity or colleges or TVET institutions, and bursary and scholarship scams appear to be on the rise. How do these work?
Similar to the loan scam. Again, consumers are approached, and often it's a case of they're approached with a bursary or a scholarship that they've never applied for. So out of the blue, you get this application or you get this opportunity to apply for a bursary. And again, typically with these scams, it's not a requirement to submit academic results or, you know, previous, for example, with students going to varsity, prelim results or the like, which is generally what you'd find with a legitimate bursary scheme. And also, again, the prepayment of costs comes through. And often what they'll do is send the consumers false notifications to say that, you know, your application is in this stage. And often there's a opportunity to try and elicit further upfront payments through these sort of false notifications. Mm. And then they'll also, for example, say, look, we can help you or assist you with various applications as well. And this, again, is a good opportunity to get some sort of fee in from the consumer as well. And then lastly, one of the things to look out for is often the bursary schemes are from very sort of or relatively unknown sponsors or bursars. So they're not the sort of typical organizations that would typically put out bursaries, especially for universities and TVET colleges.
Again, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Roy, what typically happens for many South Africans is that you typically find out you've been scammed once you've been scammed, and by that time you might be bewildered, frustrated, even, you know, feeling guilty for perhaps, you know, feeling foolish for falling for a scam. But ultimately what we need to do is make sure that we empower ourselves to know what to do from there. So if we miss the red flags and then happen to find out later and after the fact that we've been scammed, what processes and procedures should we essentially follow?
Well, the first thing that we'd advise consumers is please don't feel embarrassed about it, because these schemes and scams are exceptionally well orchestrated. And, you know, it's best to try and stop and prevent the losses as quickly as possible. So what SAFPS has done, we've created a solution called YIMA, Y-I-M-A, where we've got a website that's available to the consumer and to the public. And the services of this YIMA offering are completely free of charge to consumers. So on the website, which is yima.org.za, we provide consumers with a toolkit so that if they have been scammed, how they can report this. We collate the data and work together with law enforcement agencies to try and identify these scammers and stop it. But it is essential that the consumer still reports that they're a victim of a scam to the South African Police Services. Mm-hmm. We've also got a hotline so that if the consumer is a victim of a scam, they can contact the one number, and that links them directly to our participating financial services institutions, retailers, insurers, as well as the police, where they can report these scams. And, for example, their banks can help them to stop accounts and stop cards and stuff so that the losses are minimized. And then lastly, we've got a website scanner that consumers can use to actually interrogate the websites that they are being provided. What we see is these scammers often have spoof websites, so it looks very similar to a legitimate website on the face of it. But by using this free tool on the EMA website, they can actually scan that website and it'll give them an indication of whether or not there is undue risk associated with the website that they've scanned. Yeah. And then lastly, from an educational point of view, we provide regular and updated details on typically what these scams are, what to look out for, how the modus operandi or the way that the scammers are targeting consumers change. So, you know, giving the information there to make the adage prevention is better than cure sort of come to life, so we can proactively help consumers to identify these scams and not fall victim to them.
100%. I'm on the website now, as you mentioned, Yima. yima.org.za, and I do see the scanner where you can actually take the link and put it in there. There's a scam quiz as well. But what also intrigues me is the verify an identity. And we've spoken about this before, because so often either our identities get misused or you need to verify the person that you're engaging with. Talk to us about that and how that continues to be another key factor that is often used to scam South Africans.
Yes, so obviously the social engineering element comes through there quite strongly, in the sense that these criminals will try and befriend people via various social media platforms and almost gain their trust. You know, it's a lot easier to give your information to somebody that you perceive that you know than to a stranger. And we find that people are very, very likely to part with their personal information on a social media platform a lot easier than they would if they were dealing with a face-to-face sort of interaction with a stranger. So definitely it is an element of social engineering where these criminals try and befriend consumers to try and gain their trust. However, if this does happen, there is another solution. If a consumer does feel that their identity has been compromised and they're scared of becoming a victim of identity theft, our SAFPS website, safps.org.za, we again offer consumers a free service where they can, should they feel that they've become a victim or may have compromised personal information that could lead to them becoming a victim of identity theft, they can make use of our protective registration solution there, again, as I said, free of charge, which can help prevent them from becoming victims of identity theft further down the line.
100%, definitely themes that we do need to consider. Roy, such a pleasure speaking to you. And thank you so much for, helping us stay on our guard and being mindful of the increase of loan scams in the market. And most importantly, knowing how to counteract them. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being with you. And thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you. That's Roy Retief, Chief Operating Officer at SAFPS. That's the South African Fraud Prevention Services.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.